We're just waiting for Steady Eddie. He's waiting for YouTube. Well, good evening, everybody. I am very blessed to be here tonight. Amen.
Amen.
It might be raining outside, it might be cold, but inside, yeah, it's warm. Because God is in this place. Amen. For the last couple of weeks, I've been sharing with you on Isaiah 61. I'm just going to read it very quickly. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I've been sharing with you how the anointing that came upon the life of Jesus Christ impacted people, and that same anointing is available for you and for me. The Bible makes it very clear that in the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. It's available for you. It's available for you. It's available for you. And by the grace of God, it is available for me. Tonight, I want to continue with that. And I want to give you a bit of insight. If you've ever spent a little bit or an amount of time in the Bible, you will know that Jesus had arguably the most amazing, phenomenal ministry of all time. Let's face it. Under his ministry, blind eyes opened, deaf ears heard, the cripple walked, the dead were raised. There were signs and wonders and miracles, and you know what we don't often understand is that these things happened almost on a daily basis. You know, we do have some very powerful ministries in this world, and we bless God for that because it's the same anointing, but I can tell you right now that they do not operate on the same level as Jesus, and there is a very, very good reason for that. I want to share with you a scripture that's very important. John chapter 3 verse 33 says, 34 says, for the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son, and He has placed everything in His hands. The reason I say to you that I don't believe that any ministry that we see on earth today can rival what Jesus did is because of that scripture. Upon the life of Jesus Christ was the Spirit of God without limit. You see, you take any other man of God and there is a measure of anointing upon their life. When you look at Jesus, there was no measure. You know, the best way to explain it is, yes, the Vaal Dam has a lot of water in it. Until you look at the sea, then it's like, well, it's actually not that much. It's like, yes, it's a lot, but compared to the sea, how do you? No, you can't compare. Upon the life of Jesus Christ was the Spirit of God without limit. Now, there could be many reasons why Jesus' life and ministry was so powerful. We could argue that, oh, well, He was the Son of God. We could say that, well, He was in everything obedient to God. We can say a lot of things. He prayed a lot. He fasted. You can come up with a lot of reasons. But the main reason is this one. Upon His life was the Spirit of God without measure. You know, I had an experience tonight. The power of God touched me in a way that I haven't felt in a very, very long time. And I'm very blessed. Everybody has a passion. And, you know, the people that go somewhere in life and that accomplish something in life is the people that follow their passions. Do you agree with me? I mean, you have to be involved in something that you're passionate about. And you know, something just came to me tonight. The stuff I'm talking about now is what I'm passionate about. You know, it was my encounter with Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit that changed my life completely and set my life on a brand new course that nobody, including myself, would ever, ever, ever have thought would be possible for me. Those of you that have heard my testimony will know that, you know, back in the day, I was a very, to some extent, timid, shy, almost introverted individual. And if you had told the people that knew me well, including my parents, that I would one day stand and preach before multitudes, they would tell you, you must be mad, you must be crazy. You know, God can use him in a lot of other ways, but he's definitely not going to use him like that. Well, little did they know, right? Because when the anointing and the power of God comes upon you, things change. I want to say something to you, and I want you to take this as a message for tonight. Things change. God has a way of changing things. And you know, when the Holy Spirit is in the house, when the power of God is beginning to move, it doesn't matter what is in the way. It doesn't matter what devil is around, what demon is around, what curse is around, what limitation is around, what sickness, what infirmity. None of that matters. Because the Spirit of God enables us to deal with anything. Many years ago, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. On Sunday, I shared my testimony in the church. And, just a short little piece of it. And I shared how that night when the power of God came upon me, I was stuck on the floor for something like 4 hours. And we came to a point where the pastor came up to my father and said, "Here's the keys. Please lock the church because, you know, I want to go home and sleep now." By that time, it was after 12 o'clock at night. Now, you must understand something. In the type of church that I grew up in, nobody stayed there until 12 o'clock at night. Generally, you left about 9 o'clock. If it was a late night, it was 1 or 2 minutes past 9. So to be there until 12 o'clock at night, something cataclysmic was busy happening, and it was happening with me. And the Spirit of God was busy in my life. And you know what? I am passionate about the work of the Holy Spirit. I am passionate about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I am passionate about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because through this, through Him, God changed my life. You must understand something. I knew Jesus already. I knew Jesus for many years. I was 7 years old when I became born again. I was 7 years old when I had the conviction of sin and I bawled my eyes out because I realized that I was removed from God. That was an encounter. And that encounter did affect my life. But you want to know what totally transformed and changed my life? Was when the power of the Spirit of God came upon my life. And from that day forward, my life would never ever be the same again. Jesus had something that nobody has had since, and nobody will ever have again, because Jesus was allowed by God to be filled with the Holy Spirit to what the Bible calls a position that was without limit. If you have a 12-volt battery, you could get quite a bit out of it, but at some point in time, it's going to run out. But if you take your plug and you plug it into Eskom, okay, Eskom is maybe not the best thing to use now, but when things go well for Eskom, there's limitless power. It's just going to keep giving and giving and giving. And that's kind of like how it was in the life of Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit was upon his life to such an extent that even though he had just healed the sick and raised the dead and cleansed the leper and, you know, whatever, the following day it was there again and it happened over and over and over again. And that is why crowds of people followed him everywhere. That is why sometimes he had to go into secluded places just to try and have a bit of peace for himself. Because people were hounding him. They wanted to put a demand on that anointing. They had need and they saw in Jesus somebody that represented God that could meet that need. I want to say something to you, even though I can't claim that on my life is the Spirit of God without measure, and I don't believe anybody else can do that either. God still wants to use men and women in the way that He used Jesus Christ. I want to repeat to you, in the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, blah, 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 blah. Your old men will dream dreams. The Spirit of God wants to meet the needs of the people. The Spirit of God wants to break the yoke that is upon your neck. The Spirit of God wants to empower you for victorious living. The Spirit of God wants to help you break through that obstacle that is stopping you from moving forward in your life. The Spirit of God wants to make manifest the love of God for you in your life. If we think the Holy Spirit as the person of the Trinity who manifests the power of God, then Jesus had unlimited power. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it actually puts it this way. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with Him. Did you hear that? He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. I want to tell you something. If you want to make a difference in somebody's life, you need power. No power, no change. Amen? You want to make a devil run, you better have power. Because you got no power, the devil doesn't run. He stands, he fights, and sometimes he wins. Just ask the seven sons of Sceva. Okay, they're not around anymore, but one day if you meet them somewhere, they'll tell you all about it. You better not take on the devil if you have no power. You want to get rid of sickness, you want to get rid of disease, you got to have power. The power comes through the Holy Spirit. This scripture makes it very clear that the anointing of the Holy Spirit on Jesus' life played a crucial part in allowing Jesus to perform signs, wonders, miracles, and healings. Is there anybody here tonight that needs a sign or a wonder or a miracle or a healing? Anybody here that has some very big devil giving him a hard time right now and you need the thing to be running down the street? Okay, we're still going to banish them to the pit of hell. We're just not going to be calling them names and stuff if you listen to Sunday sermon. Amen. Then what do we need? Well, you see, yes, we all need Jesus, but we understand that because Jesus is the Son of God and through Him we have our passage into the kingdom of God. But there is something else that is very, very necessary and that a lot of people don't seem to understand. Until the Spirit of God's power doesn't come upon your life, the power is not there to break free. The power is not there to break through. And the power is not there to enter into the realm of the supernatural and to live your life there. Listen to me very carefully. This might be a bit strange to you, but I want to tell you something. I'm an alien and I'm proud of it. That doesn't mean that I've got a funny shaped head and that I probe people at night because I've got nothing else to do. That simply means that I'm not from here. I might be here, but I'm not from here because I'm part of a different kingdom. I'm an alien in a foreign land. I'm from up there. And the power of God that works in my life comes from up there. And I'm proud of it. And you know what? I'm down here because I have a mission and I need to complete that mission. But I'm going to go back there. And to some extent, I just can't wait. But I'm an alien. And I experience the power of God that is available to all who will receive it. Amen? The Word of God depicts the anointing of the Holy Spirit in different ways. Symbolically, the anointing is represented by the following things: fire, water, wind, wine, the dove, and oil. When the anointing begins to manifest, it can come in the form of any one of these symbols. And I want to tell you something. You want to be where the anointing is, and you don't want to be where the anointing is not. Because if you are sitting in a place where there's no anointing, you are sitting in a place where you are wasting your time. Without the anointing, the power of God does not break through. You can forget about it. And you know what? Maybe I'm going to upset you now, but the fact that somebody is quoting scriptures doesn't mean there's any anointing upon their life. Get one thing very straight, get one thing very clear. The Pharisees could quote scriptures, they could speak the hind leg off a donkey, but they would not heal nobody. No blind eyes would open. There would be no change. And I want to tell you something. There is a reason why no demons ever manifested when they preached. Because no demons were afraid of them. And the reality is still true today. There's too many people that are very quick to quote scriptures, but they got no power to back it up. You know, they say, put your money where your mouth is. Jesus did it. We can do it. But we need what Jesus had. Remember the sermons of the last couple of weeks? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Let's just ask a very quick question. Would the anointing and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit only help me when it comes to confronting some demon or praying for somebody for healing or something to that effect? Or will the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit enable me for daily living as well? Here's something that you got to understand. When the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon your life, it is going to enhance your life in every area. It's going to enhance your life in the area of your relationships. It will enhance your life in the area of business. It will most probably bless your mind. A lot of things are going to begin to change. I will never forget that time when the power of God came upon my life the first time. Man, I want to tell you something. Has any of you ever had like an adrenaline rush? Okay, you get an adrenaline rush when you get like all excited. When you get like all happy. Okay, there's a lot of ways that you can get an adrenaline rush. Somebody starts shooting at you and there will definitely be an adrenaline rush. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? I'm talking about something nice, something happy. Do you remember when you were very much in love? And you look deep into his or her eyes. And your knees went clack, 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 clack. And you wanted to say this and you ended up saying that. And you fell all over your words and you acted all stupid, but you didn't really care. Oh, Mr. Joao, I can see that you still remember. He just had these puppy dog eyes. He was like, No, I can see that, yeah. There we go. You know what I'm talking about, eh? Yeah. What you laughing at? You know what I'm talking about as well. Eh? That's why you're laughing. So here's the thing. There's that adrenaline rush and everything feels good. And I felt all of that in that time. There's problems, but the problems don't look very big. There's issues, but the issues are not the issue. Because there's joy. There's life. There's power. Everything is different. Now listen to this. When the anointing begins to manifest, it can come in the form of any of those symbols that I mentioned to you. Let's talk about the fire. When the anointing manifests as a fire, now the Holy Spirit can sometimes, when His presence begins to fill the room, sometimes He comes as a fire. Okay? What happens when the Spirit of God begins to move as a fire? Well, let's talk about that. What is the purpose of fire? Well, the purpose of fire is number one, to burn. Okay. Now, what would the fire begin to burn? Let's think about it this way. There is a difference between light and darkness. And if you have darkness, how do you bring light? Well, the easiest way to bring light, I know now we would walk up to the switch and we would go click, 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 and there would be light. But in the absence of a switch, you take a match, you light the match, boom, there's fire. And the moment that fire comes, it is amazing how it has the property to push away the darkness. You know, when you are out, has any of you ever been out in the bushveld? Okay, you used to go camping in the bushveld. I remember you told me at some point in time. Now, if you properly go into the bushveld and there's kilometers and kilometers of just nothing, and it's in one of those nights where the moon is gone, you know, that time when the moon is missing. It's missing in action. It's pitch black. You can't see nothing. And it feels like that inky black darkness is going to swallow you up. But then you go and you make a little fire. You light your match. You get your little kindling to start burning, and this fire begins to burn. Within seconds, the darkness that was overpowering you, that was overwhelming you, is just, it just immediately gets pushed away. Now, just follow with what I'm trying to get at. The darkness spans from that horizon to that horizon, from there to there, from here to there. It's just everywhere. But this tiny little fire has the power to just make it go. Isn't it amazing? Well, the Holy Spirit does exactly that. You can have so much darkness in your life that you believe there is no hope for you. But one touch of the fire of God, and that darkness gets pushed out of your life. Depression begins to disappear. Darkness, heaviness, sadness. You know, all the things that we associate with darkness begins to go. Now, there is something that is very much associated with darkness. It's actually a person. Who is he? Satan. Well, Satan is called the Prince of Darkness for a reason. Because where he moves, he sucks the life out of you and he brings darkness. How do we deal with him? If you got no fire, you can't deal with him. Because unless you have fire, the darkness will not be expelled. So, when the anointing manifests as a fire, it destroys the works of darkness. Darkness cannot consume fire. Fire will always consume darkness. And Satan, being the prince of darkness, knows that very, very well. Do you want to know why? Now, let me just think, how am I going to put this? Many times when the power of the Holy Spirit begins to work in a church or in a congregation or in an area, it is immediately controversial and there is a lot of opposition to it. Why? Because the Prince of Darkness also goes to church and he doesn't like it when that happens, because the darkness is going to be pushed away. So he begins to complain, he begins to moan, he finds 100 reasons why this is not from God and that is not from God and this shouldn't happen, and revivals are stopped. And that's just plain sad. You know how many times Christian people get upset when the Spirit of God begins to move in a church? You know, I find it absolutely mind-blowing. People pray for decades for God to visit their church, for the power of God to move. And then one day, God answers that prayer. The fire moves through that place. There is pandemonium. There is chaos, but it is godly chaos. And I want to tell you something. I can't live without godly chaos. Amen. Because what is chaotic to you is order for God. You must understand the principles of God's kingdom and what happens in this world is two very, very separate things. You know, what we think is orderly to God is like, what the heck is going on down there? No, it's nothing. God wants things a different way. And then when that power breaks through, it's like, we need a meeting. We need to discuss this. I've been to several churches where that has happened. And you know what happens? They squash it because they don't like it. They will rather have the darkness than the light. You see, here's the thing. Too much light also exposes things, and some people don't want things exposed. They like to just be the way they are. My friend, you got problems, you got issues in your life, deal with them. Let the fire come and burn them up. You know, the chaff was thrown in the fire for good reason. It's useless. The fire of God burns up the chaff. The fire of God burns up the rubbish that we don't need. We must be willing to let it go. Amen. Amen? Be willing to let it go. You don't need all that extra baggage in your life. Let it go. Psalm 97 verse 3 says, a fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. My friend, whether you like it or not, every single one of us has foes on every side. I'm not talking about your mother-in-law. Okay? I'm talking about that devil trying to give you a hard time. The spirit of debt, the spirit of poverty, the spirit of lack, the spirit of sadness, the spirit of grief, the spirit of heaviness, the spirit of depression, the spirit of fear, the spirit of anxiety, worry, stress, you name it, sickness, infirmity. That curse of famine in your life. That every now and then when it looks like things are going to come up, it's like, everything just falls down. We all have foes. Now, how does God deal with the foes? Well, let me read it to you again. Psalm 97 verse 3. A fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. How many times have I not been in a church when the fire of God begins to move? Demons begin to scream and perform and manifest. And guess what? I never get invited back there again. Because apparently it's chaotic. Chaotic for man is order for God. God's order is, I want my people to be set free. Jesus said, I have come to set the captives free. I've done this before, but let's just quickly do another. Let's just do another exercise. Who knows the Lord's Prayer? Recite me the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. You could stop there. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Whose kingdom needs to be established in this place tonight? It's not mine. It's not yours. If we had some body that was over this meeting, it's not theirs, it's God's. That's what's important. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Is it God's will for the captives to be free? Oh, yes, it is. Do we get to choose how he's going to do that? No, we don't, because it's his will be done. The problem is too many people want to tell God what to do and how to do it. Let me just remind you that you don't even understand your problems. So how can you? It's like going for brain surgery and you are giving the brain surgeon a lecture on where he should start drilling first. Hello? By the time he's finished, there's going to be nothing left of you. You don't know what's happening there. And a lot of people treat God in the same way. It's like you have big problems, but you want to tell God how he may and may not approach the restoration in your life, the healing in your life, the deliverance in your life. No, my friend, let's get one thing straight. There you sit back, you let go of the wheel and you say, Lord, you're in charge. Amen. A fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. Isaiah 10 verse 27 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off of your shoulder and his yoke from off of your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Satan puts a yoke on people. A yoke of slavery, bondage. What type of things can people be in bondage to? Bondage to depression, bondage to drugs, bondage to alcohol, bondage to a low self-esteem, bondage to fear, bondage to poverty, bondage to debt, bondage to lack. And so the list goes on and on and on. How do you break the yoke of bondage? Because of the anointing. Amen. The Holy Spirit can manifest as the living water. The water anointing. The anointing can also manifest as water. And the water anointing brings the following. It brings life. It brings cleanliness. It soothes. It satisfies your thirst. John 7 verse 37. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. I want to stop right there. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice. Why did he say it in a loud voice? He wanted everyone to hear. I think this is the only place in the Bible where Jesus said anything in a loud voice. I can't think of any other scripture. I could be wrong. And I'm sure if I'm wrong, somebody's going to come and tell me about it. But he said this in a loud voice. In other words, he wanted us to know this is important stuff. Even if you forget some of the stuff I said yesterday and the day before, remember this. So now I want you to remember this. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. God doesn't want you to be a desert inside. God doesn't want you to be a desert inside. God wants you to be an oasis. God wants you to be a fountain of life. But you see, you can't just get that. You gotta be thirsty. And this is what some people don't understand. You know, sometimes I'll have a sermon and we'll preach about the Holy Spirit or how the Holy Spirit works, etc., etc. And then it's time for people to be prayed for. And then, you know, as one does, you go from person to person and you say, what can I pray for you? What can I pray for you? Whatever. There's no whatevers in the kingdom of God. If you're not thirsty, you will not get it. I want you to listen to me very carefully. God wants you to be thirsty. Jesus said, and remember, he said this in a loud voice because it's important. There's a lot of people that want their life to change, but it's like God must just do whatever he's going to do. That's it. It's like they can't be bothered how it's going to happen. No, God says you got to be thirsty. You must want it. You want the living water? You got to get thirsty. You got to get thirsty. And do you know how you know when somebody is thirsty? Even if the oasis is 100 kilometers away, they're going to make a plan to get there. You know, we've spoken about this before. But then we have people that live around the corner of the church, but the pastor must go to them and go and pray for them there because they can't be bothered to come to church because the car's got a flat tire. Meanwhile, the neighbor next door goes to the same church and they leave every morning at the same time, but we can't be bothered to ask them for a lift. You're not thirsty, you're going to get nothing. Listen to me carefully. You're not thirsty, you're going to get nothing. The more you show God how thirsty you are, the more God will give you living water. Living water is not for anybody. It's for thirsty people. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to get thirsty. Now, let me just make a very big point of order here. I'm not talking about Jack Daniels or Jim Beam or Shivas. It's very disturbing to me that you guys can roll these things off your tongue like that. I would like to see you for prayer later. No. The thirst I'm talking about here is for the living water of God. There are many people today who are thirsty. And they try and quench their thirst with all the wrong things. We just spoke about it. Alcohol. How many people in this world have big problems? The dwang in your life is considerable. And now, because you can't cope with it anymore, you hit the bottle. Or you hit other things. What must I say? It just makes things worse. Nobody has ever found peace in the bottom of a bottle. You found ways to pass out. You found ways to wreck your car. You found ways to wreck your marriage. You found ways to push your kids away from you. But you don't find peace in the bottom of a bottle. You don't find it going up your nose in a white powder. You don't find it popping pills. Have you ever? Who of you here goes fishing? What, it's just two of us. Three of us. Okay. Four of us. Aperomius, have you ever even been fishing? I have a distinct feeling you're fibbing here. Oh, he goes to the fish shop. Listen, yeah, I wasn't asking who likes to buy fish. I was asking who goes fishing. Okay, the reason I'm asking. I grew up going fishing. And I love fishing. There's something about being next to the water. Early in the morning, late at night. Sometimes you can, if it's in a river, you sort of hear the river run. Or if it's at a dam, you just look out over that water and it's phenomenal the peace that fills you when you're with in that vicinity of the water, the proximity of the water. When the living water of God begins to enter your life, that same peace comes into your heart. You see, the thing is, yes, you can get into your car now and you can drive down to the Vaal Dam. You can go and sit there on the banks of the Vaal Dam or the Vaal River or the Orange River or the Limpopo River or wherever you might be, or the Mississippi River for that matter, if you happen to be that side of the pond. And you can feel some peace. Or you can have it deep inside and it's with you all the time. Now, it's still nice to go and sit next to the river and fish, but it's much more beneficial if you carry that peace with you, wouldn't you say? And you can. We must all go fish. I agree. I'm going to organize a fishing week. Are you okay? She did caught the shark. You're right. The piranha grabbed her. Do you know what just happened here? You said, we must go fish, and God said, make a plan. The Holy Spirit is helping you. Amen. I said just now, your insides should be a fountain, not a desert. Being without the Holy Spirit's living water leaves one's soul like a barren, dry wasteland. You feel no life, no hope, no joy. You feel depressed, you feel somber, and you feel hopeless. When the river, the water anointing is there, it begins to fill us. What are the qualities of water? It gives life. If we take water away, what happens to the earth? It dies. You take the living water away from a child of God, what happens? We dry up and die. God wants to give you so much living water that He says not only will there be sufficient for you, it'll flow through you into others and touch their lives and change their lives. Praise God. The Holy Spirit can manifest as a rushing mighty wind. Sometimes the anointing comes as a rushing mighty wind. Acts chapter 2 verse 1 to 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. A violent wind. When I think of a violent wind, I think of, has anybody ever been in the Cape? When was it? The southeast or the southwest or one of those begins to blow. When I was in standard 6, that's many years ago, I think I was about 14 years of age, we were in the Cape. And we were down there in one specific place, I don't know what the area was called, somewhere in close to Cape Town. And it was one of those days when the wind just picked up and blew. You know, it was amazing. You could not stand still in that wind. That wind pushed you wherever it wanted. It was like, it felt like I was a puppet. That like there was this big hand that just, you're going to go, yeah, now you're going to go there, you're going to go there. That wind had so much power. I think we've all seen on the news or on YouTube or whatever what happens when the wind is very, very powerful. Nothing can stop it. Now, when the anointing comes in this manner, like the rushing mighty wind, it pushes open doors. Tell me something. How many of you know that That wooden door there is not going to remain shut when a 250-kilometer-hour wind comes cruising past you. Okay, we could reason. Yeah, okay, I was going to go there now. We could reason that the roof and everything else is going to go. Now, I don't want to take it down a destructive path because the Holy Spirit is not destructive unless you're a demon. But if there are doors that are closed, when that wind begins to push, doors, windows, everything just, boom, there they go. How many of you have a couple of things in your life that needs to be pushed open? A couple of doors that have been shut for whatever the reason might be. And you've been praying and you've been fasting and, you know, you've been trying to do whatever you can to get it open. Sometimes when that anointing is powerful and that rushing mighty wind is there, it just, whew, it pushes that obstacle out of the way. It opens that door. Sometimes Satan does everything in his power to prevent us from opening a door that God has called us to walk through. When the mighty wind of God manifests, every door will be pushed open. It establishes new things. It propels us down God's chosen path. It makes a way where there seems to be no way. And I want to tell you something. That night when God's power came upon me, the rushing mighty wind, every part of what I'm preaching here, I experienced. But doors opened for me from that day. The doors opened that day. The preceding days and weeks, I managed to walk through them, and my life was never the same again. I felt these things. I experienced these things. It's true. It's real. Then we also have a different take on the wind. I call it the breath. Sometimes the anointing and the power of God is like a breath. It's like that still, small wind, quiet wind that moves. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, God made man out of clay. But man had no life. The breath or the gentle breeze of God was needed to give life. And when this anointing flows, it brings up life in areas where our person experienced death. Do you remember when God created Adam and Eve? God took a ball of lifeless clay and he molded it into God's image. And it looked exactly like God. It was in God's image. Yet the problem was there was no life in it. How did God put life? Okay, God did not call fire. God did not call a 300-kilometer-an-hour wind. God did not call for thunderstorms and massive rain and lots of water. Would have dissolved the clay in any case. What did God do? That quiet wind, the breath. And what happened? Adam sat up and he became alive. You know, even in the church, a lot of people have been touched by death. And I'm not just referring to physical death. Yes, everybody's lost loved ones, etc., etc. But death touches your finances sometimes. Death touches people's minds. Death touches a relationship. Death touches lots of different areas. Sometimes your heart can feel dead. You know, there's a lot of people, even though they go to church, they got no feeling. They got nothing. When that breath of God begins to move, life kicks inside of people. I have seen how one breath of God can bring somebody back to life. And their life is never the same again. Probably there's a couple of people here tonight, you need the breath of God. Because probably inside you feel dead. You know, disappointments, abuse, lots of things could cause us to feel dead inside. God gives new life. And then we have the oil anointing. When the anointing manifests as an oil, it lubricates that which is stuck. You know, from a practicality point of view, you got a door that doesn't want to open lacquer, what do? You oil it. You got a bearing that doesn't want to turn anymore. What do? You oil it. You got a gate that doesn't want to move anymore. What do? You oil it, and suddenly everything starts working again. When the anointing manifests as oil, it lubricates that which is stuck. Many people feel stuck in their circumstances. Is there anybody here that feels stuck? Okay, you need a bit of oil. Listen to this. You can feel stuck in your circumstances. You can feel stuck in your life. You can feel stuck in your career. Just like oil in the natural can move stuck objects, so this anointing can propel you further down your destiny towards the next level that God has for your life. 1 Samuel 16, verse 11 to 15. You all know this scripture, but let's look at it again. So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons that you have?" "No, there is still the youngest, but he is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in, and he was ruddy with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for he is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Did you hear that? When the oil anointing came upon him, the Spirit of God was released upon his life in power. When this anointing came upon David's life, his life would never ever be the same again. He was instantly transported to a new life with new power, with new authority, because he was instantly a king. He moved from a shepherd to a king in an instant. You know, we can't do it, but imagine if 16-year-old David, roughly, somewhere out there in the fields tending the sheep, probably been doing so for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. All his brothers are having fun and experiencing amazing things. And he's stuck there doing this menial task that he feels is not the most interesting and exciting thing to do. And probably feels a bit stuck. Probably complains to himself every now and then, maybe complain to God as well, like, "Oh yeah, I'm stuck here again. I have to run after this. I have to run after that. I'm out of circulation." And then one day, the power of God comes upon his life. That oil moves all over him. And the next thing he knows, he had a destiny. A destiny that he could never ever imagine. And that day the door opened for him to step through into that destiny. He could not be king till the anointing came upon him. Here's my question. How many things are there that are just outside of your reach, but until the anointing doesn't come to propel you forward, you will also not know what they are? Sometimes we need that anointing. Then, of course, there's the wine anointing. The anointing can manifest as wine. On the day of Pentecost, in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 12 to 13, the people saw the disciples under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and assumed that they had had too much wine to drink. Okay, why would they assume something like that? Because sometimes under a certain anointing, people actually get drunk. And they don't get drunk because they've looked too deep into the bottle. There's no bottles involved there. It's one of those strange manifestations that come with a certain anointing. People just get drunk. But do you know what follows with that anointing? Joy. Laughter. Excitement. That anointing is sometimes very necessary. How many of you have a tough life? None of you. It's the first congregation I've ever seen where everybody's got a perfect life. Everybody has a tough life. How many of us battle? Plenty of us. Too much hay on your fork? Probably all of you. Trials, tribulations, problems. All of us. And sometimes these things just, it's like they tax you. And you feel like, oh man, I don't know if I have the power to go on. It sucks the joy out of us. When this anointing begins to manifest, God puts joy back, boom, almost instantly. Have I got 10 minutes left? There's plenty of time. This anointing brings joy, excitement, exuberance, boldness, etc. It's kind of similar to wine with one very big difference. It doesn't give you a headache the next morning. You don't wake up and find out, ooh, you did that and that and that and that, and you better go say sorry. There's none of that stuff. Now, what about you and me? Okay, so we know that there are these different anointings. But the question is, are they still available to us today? Acts chapter 2, verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. You know the answer. Yes, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is especially necessary in the age that we live in today. Jesus told the disciples, wait in the city until you have been endowed with power from on high. Here's something that you must take into account. The disciples walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, saw what he did, experienced the power of God through his life. Under his anointing, they also went out and they also prayed for sick people and they got healed. Under his anointing, they also went out and laid hands on people and demons came out of people screaming. They even came back and said, Lord, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus answered, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. But, and there's a big but, Jesus knew, until they don't receive their own anointing, they can't go out and change the world. If you're not on fire, you can't expel darkness. And I want to tell you something. The devil is not stupid. He can see whether you're burning a mile away or not. And if you try and give him a hard time and there's no fire in you, what must he be afraid of? Nothing. He's going to laugh at you. Nothing is going to happen. Jesus knew that even though the disciples walked with him daily, learned from him daily, and were to some extent really well equipped, they lacked the power to do anything about it. Now, if the disciples were warned not to do anything until the power came, then how can we think that we are any different? How can we think that today I get born again, tomorrow I go out into the field and now the whole world is going to change because I'm there? I have had plenty dealings in my past with missionaries. And I have had plenty dealings with missionaries who come back devastated because they go out there and they give everything and they try so hard to change people, to bring people to Christ. And a lot of them, they feel they had no success. And when we talk a bit about it, one thing that is very, very apparent is that there is no anointing upon their life. To go into the missionary field is to go into the pit of darkness, where the prince of darkness rules. And if you don't take a lot of light with you, fire with you, you know, people are not stupid. Why must I move from darkness to darkness? But if you have light, you offer me something that I don't have. We need the light. Every single one of us is in the same boat. You need to go forward in life, you need some anointing. You need changes in your life, you need some anointing. You need to conquer some devil in your life, you need some anointing. Because all of these things can be accomplished like this, boom, when the anointing is present. I have good news for you. The anointing is present tonight. Amen. The power of God is in this place. And tonight when we pray for people, I'm telling you now, things are going to happen. Tonight the Holy Spirit is here. And I want to just remind you, it's for you to be thirsty. I can't be thirsty for you. But if you are thirsty, Jesus has something to give you. He says in His Word, come to Me, all who are thirsty, come to Me and drink. Now that's the second thing. I'm going to share this and then I'm going to stop. A lot of people are thirsty. But when they are where the anointing is and they see what happens because of the anointing, it's like, ooh, that's not for me. No, you got to be thirsty and you got to drink. What does it help if you're thirsty but you won't drink? And I want to say to you again, God moves the way He wants. He doesn't ask your permission. And who are we to tell God what to do and how to do it anyway? Maybe the way God moves tonight is not the way you thought He was going to move. Well, bless God that He's not moving the way you thought He would. Because the way you want Him to move would limit everything. The way He wants to move is going to give the breakthrough. We must take a step back and say, as God taught us to pray in His Word, as Jesus taught us, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Lord, I'm taking a step back. It's not about me. I'm thirsty and I'm ready to drink. Thank You, Lord. I receive it. Did anybody learn something tonight? Give the Lord a big hand, please. One more thing. Luke chapter 11, verse 11. Listen carefully. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? The reason I have this scripture here is because of how I ended off now. A lot of people, they might come from a different culture, church culture, but they still want the Holy Spirit. They're still thirsty. But then when they get to the place where the Holy Spirit begins to move, it's like, oh, but this can't be right. Oh, no, I don't want that. Remember the scripture. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? If you ask for a fish, He will not give a serpent. If you ask for an egg, He will not give a scorpion. In other words, He will give you what you asked for. It's for you to take it and drink. In other words, let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Amen. Amen. Amen.